Can you text Fahim and see if he and Mike are Skyping him? All right, wonderful. Oh, we're going, okay, cool. Call this meeting to order at 6:08 p.m. Apologies for the delay. Deliberating with Vice President Patches and Councilor Christensen about an urgent bylaw-related matter that would have affected maybe a potential motion that would have come to today's meeting. So I don't think we'll be having a motion from the floor today, but you can ask Vice President Patches or Councilor Christensen about that in question period if you'd like. Before we begin, may I remind you all of the oath that you have taken. The Students Union will also like to honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship by acknowledging that this meeting is taking place on Treaty 6 territory. A few other announcements. The next meeting of Students Council will take place on Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016 at 6 p.m. back in Council Chambers. So that's next week. Remember that the deadline for submissions for that meeting is still Friday, 8 a.m. for the main agenda, and next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for items for the late editions. Other announcements, there won't be a presentation today from the CFB. There was some miscommunication, so the CFB will not be making it out to today's meeting, and as far as I've heard, they won't be at the next meeting either because we have quite a few presentations already slated for the next meeting of Students' Council. Other announcements. Something up at the front beside all the order papers was forms for the Council Scholarship. I think this is like the second time while I've been the speaker that we've tried to do this actually on time. So I believe the next meeting of Students' Council is the second last meeting of this term, which means that any Council Scholarship submissions need to be in by the end of the next meeting. So you have 1 week to fill out Council Scholarship forms, get your signatures, and get them to me. I believe that's everything in terms of announcements, other than we'll just quickly take attendance, and then we'll continue on with today's meeting. President Rahman, Vice President Bannister,
here.
Vice President Sundare, Vice President Patches,
here.
Vice President Gossain,
here.
Governor Champagne,
here.
Councilor McKinley, proxy for Councillor Angus, Councillor Kiani, Councillor Datirois,
here.
Councillor Manda,
here.
Councillor Larson,
here.
Councillor Victoria Dion,
here.
Councillor Yim,
here.
Councillor Hammond,
here.
Councillor Alhamouri, Councillor Prasad,
here.
Councillor Prochnow,
yep.
Councillor Nahid, Councillor Nick Dion, Councillor Hashim,
here.
Councillor Brophy?
Here.
Councillor Christensen?
Here.
Councillor Sunday?
Here.
Councillor Scott? Councillor Flamin?
Here.
Councillor Kwan's not here. Councillor Howie?
Here.
Councillor Warrior? Councillor Newman?
Yep.
Councillor Gwynn? Councillor Mahal?
Here.
Councillor Farouk?
Here.
Councillor Rachel Wang?
Here.
Is it Wang or is it Wang?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Councillor Kim. I'm here. General Manager is not. Wonderful. All right. So we'll get back to the order papers. Again, like I said, there will be no presentation from the Campus Food Bank. So with that, we don't have any presentations for today's meeting. We'll move on to executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? Vice President Bannister, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. So something that I have done since my main work papers is I have opened my Google form to job shadow me for a half day in the winter semester. So I'm doing that because typically we only do it a couple weeks before the actual election, and in my experience, people decide to run or not much sooner. So I don't remember the dates off the top of my head. I feel like it's December 5th and December 11th. It's a Monday and a Thursday. So if you are interested in running for VP Academic, please feel free to sign up. Or if you know people that are interested in running, please I do encourage you to only apply if you are interested in maybe running for VP Academic, just so if it's not really filled up with people that are not necessarily interested in the position. But even if you're remotely interested, just let me know. I also, in the late ads, you'll see the final the week report. So that just came back from the marketing team probably 20 minutes before the 2 p.m. late ads deadline struck. So I've included it. It's very fancy. It has lots of infographics, and it has lots of cool information, and it will be available on Oak.ca shortly. So that's all for me. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bannister. Any other members of the executive who wish to make a report? Seeing none, we will go to board and committee reports, starting with CAC.
Oh, shit.
Hi, folks. CAC had its first meeting, I can't remember the exact date, I think it's November 1st. We talked at like a breakneck speed to adopt standing orders for council and CAC. If you look up my report, they're listed there. You can also find them online in a Google Drive if anybody wants access. Ask me. They should be updated. I don't know if they have them. I haven't checked recently. But should be updated online in short order if they aren't already. The big things I would like to say and the recommendations I gave in my report are that as of right now, chairs are supposed to be giving written reports to council to fulfill their mandate to allow any decisions made in committee to actually take effect, aside from those that affect standing orders or bylaw. Bylaw kind of has a weird loophole. They're still supposed to submit reports, but because it's bylaw, it takes effect immediately. We're not going to really worry about it too much, but it would be appreciated until CAC and bylaw meet to figure out how we want to pursue this in the future, if we want to continue to submit these reports and whatnot. That chairs start submitting reports for every council meeting or after every meeting that they meet. After that, I've had a lot of discussions with people about what they want CAC to be doing, what they want funds for, if they want jackets, all these other things. It's fantastic for you to talk to me. I love talking, obviously. But I'm very forgetful. I don't remember everything. The best way to ensure that your concerns get met is that you submit to the CAC agenda. You can do that through submissions. Super easy. Mercy's here. She loves getting your emails. So please do that so that way I don't forget and we can actually have a discussion about it and get it figured out. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Larson. We'll go next to Councillor Victoria DeYoung for an update on Policy Committee.
I apologize for not submitting a written report. We have not met since the last year's meeting.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Vice President Bannister for an update on Nominating Committee.
There is nothing to report as we have not met.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Councillor Hammond for an update on Audit Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a brief meeting before meeting week in which we approved the faculty St. John audit. That is all.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Councillor Christensen for an update on Bylaw Committee.
So Bylaw Committee met right after Students' Council last time, and we approved the APERG and WASC website questions, which are on the order paper today. We also set our winter semester meeting schedule and also discuss what we're going to do at our next meeting, which is on November 29th. We're going to probably start on the UPass referendum question, which is out again this year, as well as any faculty association membership fee questions that might be available. Other than that, that's pretty much all. all that we've done.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Vice President Patches for an update on Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Finance Committee met yesterday. What day is it today? Tuesday? Yeah, Monday. And we approved First Alberta Campus Radio Association's DFU's annual report, as well as the Gateway Student Journalism Society's annual report. So those DFUs will be dispersed accordingly. And then we also had a discussion with a member of the Students' Union Services staff in regards to amending the Finance Committee standing orders to better reflect the Student Group Granting Committee and how it currently operates. And we amended standing orders accordingly. Specifically, we added voting members from the Dean of Students' Office onto the Student Group Granting Committee as they contribute financially to the fund every year. And then we also increased the, I can't recall the exact amount, but we increased the limit on grants, on activity grants that can be allowed to student groups. So that's good news because that's more money to students. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Are there any other members of any boards or committees who wish to make a report? Governor Champagne, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So since last council, I was invited to COFA Senior Board, where I got a chance to meet various execs from different faculties and explain them a little bit my role and just give them my contact information if everybody has questions or things they're concerned about. Since last council, I've also attended a conference for Alberta Post-Secondary Board members. President Rahman was also there. It was given by Field Law, which is the firm that the university uses in its cases. It was a great experience. Learned a lot about not only how our board operates, but how other post-secondary institution boards operates in the rest of Alberta. If you have more questions about that, I suggest asking me a question here because there's something interesting I want to say. Also, one last fun fact I wanted to give is they say only an average of 10 people ever reads all the papers that Profs write. So, and that includes their peer reviewers and the people who evaluate them and publish them. So, so that kind of gives you some perspective as to all the work we do here. And when you consider the Profs' tenures is often given by the amount of publishing they do, you know, it kind of makes you wonder just how efficient that model is. Just thought that'd be an interesting thing to mention. But I would welcome a question about the conference during the question period. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Champagne. Are there any other members of any boards or committees who wish to make a report? Seeing none, we'll close board and committee reports there. And we will move into open forum. Are there any questions for open forum? Seeing none, close open forum there, and we'll go into question period. So our first question came from last meeting, from Council Farouk to Vice President Bannister. The answer is provided in the order papers. Council Farouk, did you want to ask a follow-up question?
No,
okay. Thank you very much. So with that, that exhausts all of our written questions, so we'll move into any oral questions. Yes, Councillor Brophy.
So what is the exciting news that Governor Champagne is after his report?
Governor Champagne, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I don't know if it's exciting, but I thought it was interesting. There was a lot of questions about the charter applies in university governance, and then that comes into question with, for example, student clubs want to say, oh, it's freedom of speech that I can do this. And it turns out that it probably doesn't, according to the lawyers, because the institution, although it being funded by the government, is not the government, and as such, the charter doesn't really apply in cases of student discipline and in cases of charter challenges. So that was interesting. It's not over yet. There's some cases going on, as though that Alberta apparently has kind of a different take on it because of how the PSLA defines our post-secondary institutions. But also, if you really have a charter challenge question, this is not legal advice. Some interesting notions that were mentioned during that. But yeah, so in terms of student discipline and in terms of actual freedom of expression, the charter doesn't apply in universities, or so was told at the conference. I thought it was very interesting. Beyond that, there were many different institutions there, such as Northwest, such as University of Lethbridge, Grand Prairie. I'm not sure what the name. I don't remember what the name of the institution was, but it was very interesting to see different kinds of people who sat on boards and how different student terms worked in certain places, such as Northwest. They have two year programs, so they don't actually get to get a student that's a third or fourth year to present themselves as a student rep on the board. And so usually you have to kind of pick someone in their first year to already run in their, so that they are on the board in their second year. So they have kind of that interesting turnover challenge, but they tend to have more senior students, so students who are maybe a little bit older. And they kind of have a weird process where the outgoing rep kind of mentors some new first years into maybe running for the role. So it was very interesting to see all the different types of boards out there. I'll be actually submitting a written report of that experience. I'm still working on it. And President Rahman took a lot of notes during the conference as well, so I'm sure he'll have more stuff to say on next meeting if he's asked about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Governor Champagne. Are there any other oral questions for question period? Councillor Manda.
I have a question for Vice President Bannister. In your report, you mentioned that there was another meeting of the ad hoc committee on academic governance, and you said that they are going to recommend changes. Do you have any updates on the excited happenings of this committee?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councilor Mondo, for the question. I'm not going to lie to Council. There's never a dull moment in this committee or this task force. So, at the meeting, it's kind of tricky to explain. So, I do not know what the recommendations will be, but I know I speculate and expect that there will be somewhat substantial recommendations. So as of yet, we have actually not really delved into the fine tunings of how academic governance works. We're simply looking at our overall structure and comparing it to what other institutions are doing. So for people that, I'm going to be real honest with you guys, I didn't really understand a lot of what academic governance meant in my first couple years as a counselor, so I'm going to explain it to you briefly. So everyone knows there's GFC. So GFC has a number of subcommittees. There's APC, which is the Academic Planning Committee the President sits on. There's other ones, ASC, which is the Academic Standards Committee I sit on. I sit on most of them. Robin sits on one of them. And all sorts of academic changes go through those committees get approved. So sometimes those are not followed, and then people get mad, and then sometimes they are followed, and it takes a long time, people get confused. So basically the ad hoc committee is looking at how that goes. There's been a number of concerns raised in these meetings. People speak very candidly in these meetings. There's a number of associate deans from different faculties on it. So I don't have any exact examples of the specific changes that will be made, but there is only two students on it. I'm the only undergraduate student on it. And interestingly, I'm not on it in my capacity as BDA. I'm on it as a student. So I am there to represent student voices, and I'll keep council aware of any significant changes. If you also have thoughts on how you think academic governance should work, I really welcome that feedback. So that's a very long-winded answer to your question.
Thank you very much. Vice President Bannister, we'll go next to Councillor Larson.
This is for the Vice President's student life, Odysseum. Just wondering if you could expand more on the fee collection and how that is moving forward, as you said that there is still some ongoing discussions.
Thank you for the question. So the fee collection was a long and confusing process for everyone involved. So what happened is that about 2 weeks ago, I thought I had a final answer as to how the fee collection was going to go. But then I was getting conflicting information from Dean of Students and Ancillary Services, which are the two bodies that are involved in that fee collection, right? And so I sent out something seeking clarification, and I got clarification. So the final answer to that question is that fees are going to be collected from undergraduate students in the residences that were in the board motion that was approved. So not all students, but undergraduate students, because it is an SUP, and that's what we were expecting to begin with. And another question around that was, so as you know, it's an opt-out award, right? But the question was that if students don't opt out and also don't pay the fee, what kind of consequence were we going to impose on students, right? As it is right now, for other SUPs, the registrar's office puts a hold on your financial record if you don't pay fees and fail to opt out on time. But resident services or ancillary services didn't want to do that for residence fees, and so they ensured that they would basically write us a check for every student that fails to opt out and fails to pay the fee, so they are willing to take that risk for this year, so that we get the entirety of the amount that we expected for fee. So fee times number of students minus fee times number of students who opted out. But that process is obviously not sustainable, so we're going to have discussions to figure out how the fee collection is going to go for next year and moving forward. But for this year, it is finalized, and that's how it's going to go. And yeah, it has been frustrating for everyone for a long time, but that is the final answer. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Vice President Bannister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for Councillor Wanda. I was just wondering if you had any updates on your efforts in unionization regarding residents.
Yes, I do. Thank you for the question. So the plans got delayed somewhat due to some legislative and legal complications due to the Public Service Employees Relations Act. But now the vote on, like, the employee vote on the unionization will be happening. It's taking place tomorrow and on Thursday. So there is a slight change in the original plans, in that we are now, because of those legislative issues, we are now voting to join the NASA general unit, not forming our own bargaining unit as part of NASA. But in the end, it's a minor difference, because the collective agreement with the NASA general collective agreement is locked in for the next 3 years, because they just ratified it. Res staff will be added through a letter of understanding on top of the agreement for now, so it won't be like a proper collective bargaining process for compared to what it would have been if we were forming our own bargaining unit. But in the future, like, we will be included in the negotiations when they happen, but effectively, it means essentially the same thing. So yeah, open for a yes vote.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Councillor Farouk.
My question was to Governor Champagne. He talked about the process by which some professors get tenured, based on the amount of publication, the fact that the liberal education actually received that much scrutiny. Do you know if any of, like, if there's any actual, like, just because this is quite an important conversation, particularly within, because research is the kind of the basis of this university. We are a research university. if there's any kind of conversation on maybe making this process better, improving it, if at all. I don't know if you want me to rephrase that or not. But.
Go ahead, Governor Champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I missed the preface.
So I think I might be paraphrasing, but I think what Council Fruit was saying was essentially because research papers are read so infrequently, on average, is there, and this might be a better question for Vice President Bannister, is there are there plans to maybe change the process by which professors get tenure? Is that?
I'd like to maybe start it off, and maybe if Vice President Bannister wants to jump in. The frequency that a paper is read, I think, does not necessarily define the quality of the paper or the importance of the paper, so I don't want that to be misconstrued. I also am not 100% sure what the formula or what the system is here at the U of A. I just know that publishing and research is quite important when it comes to evaluating which candidates you choose to look at when you look at giving tenure track. That being said, at GFC earlier in the year, we talked about ways to better evaluate courses and better evaluate professor performance. So I think I'll then leave it off to Vice President Bannister to maybe give her two cents.
Sure. Thank you for deferring the question, Councilor Governor. So the way professors are chosen to get tenure is there's something called the Faculty Evaluation Committee, an FEC report, that they have to go through. So the FEC is faculty specific, so every faculty has slightly different requirements and a different formula, if you will, for deciding who gets tenure for what. To my knowledge, the amount of researchers read is not part of that formula. We certainly could look into that. There is discussions right now happening about FEC, but specifically as it pertains to USOI scores, because we're reviewing that right now in one of the GFC subcommittees. So I'd be happy to follow up or ask a question about that if it's something you feel strongly about. But that's about it for now.
Thank you very much. And possibly our last question for this first 15-minute period goes to Governor Champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Quickly, to Vice President Bannister, since you sit on this ad hoc committee to evaluate academic governance, I think, could you maybe share with us your thoughts on what needs to be shared, what needs to be changed, since you've been to a few committee meetings already, and maybe you can't necessarily share everything that's happening in committees, but maybe you can share what you think would be at least areas that we need to look at and to improve on.
Right. Can I answer? Okay, cool. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. So, my thoughts are not fully developed because each meeting I am swayed by the opinions of my peers because they have a different perspective than me, which is valuable. The most important things to me right now is, so I'll say there's two or three. So one of them, first and foremost above anything else, is protecting student representation on all the committees, regardless of what changes they may propose. I'm a very strong advocate of this committee to make sure that we're not losing student spots on any of the GFC committees. So for example, in the PSLA, the Post-Secondary Learning Act, which is a government thing that makes us be able to have power, it says the GFC only has four student reps, right? I don't want to see GFC have four student reps. I want to see GFC have 38 or whatever, however many we have right now. So protecting the actual spots for students in academic governance is very key. Second of all, making sure that everything's transparent and easy to understand. I've heard lots of feedback from students and non-students that things like agendas for GSC and subcommittees are very hard to read. They're not friendly to students. They're not friendly to administrators. They're not friendly to faculty. making sure that things are spelled out in a little bit more layman's terms and not as much high-level academic governance terminology. I think it's important to make sure that students actually understand what's going on in an accessible way. So I've been advocating for that. Transparency and clarity in the process. There's a lot of confusion as, you know, people have said this for years and years and years and years and years. The whole GSE is a rubber stamp, GSE is a rubber stamp. We're very intimately looking into that. And it's a tricky problem, honestly. Before I was on this, I had a bit of that mindset as well, but there are so many committees that do so much work leading up to GSE, it's unreasonable to have GSE do the sheer quantity of work that's done at the committees. So that balance of delegation is something that we're looking into a lot. And then the last thing I'll end on, and I speak a lot about this at the committee, maybe to the annoyance of my peers, but whatever, is that informing administrators and faculty of how student governance works. So I'm a very big proponent, as you guys know, of department associations and faculty associations. So making sure that different councils understand which student reps are talking to about what. So even though this is about GSC and, you know, their committees predominantly, we're looking at things like faculty councils and department councils and making sure that those have appropriate representation on that. So for example, if some big change in a department's happening, people need to know that along that governance route, they should be consulting their department association students on it, which is not always the case right now. I'll give you guys a tidbit specific thing, like take this and run. I see the gateway's ears are perked up anyway. But there has been some conversation about having faculty councils have written reports to GFC. So that's something that they've always said that would be done, but it's never been done in practice. So that's something that we may recommend be actually enforced in some way. I'm not saying we're going to say that's a recommendation, but that's an example of like a real tangible change that connects all levels of governance to the higher level university-wide governance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, our first 15 minutes of question period has been exhausted. I don't have anyone on my speakers list. Except maybe Councillor Farouk. Okay, so Councillor Farouk is the only person on my speakers list currently, so unless I see five placards, we'll move on. All right, that's five. So we'll start the next 15 minutes of question period, starting with Councillor Farouk. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. I have two questions, but I'm going to do one. This is a question goes to Councillor Bannister. She's talking about the structure of GFC. Seeing as a lot of the work is done in some committees, and many some committees do have students on them, while, like, as far as I understand, students are recruited by the subcommittees themselves, is there potential for movement that these subcommittees will recruit student members from GFC itself, just so there's more student engagement from GFC members who are students?
Thank you for the question. I'm going to reiterate it just so I know I got it. So the question is, right now subcommittees take students at large. Will they take students from GSC? That's the question. That's something that we've talked about. We haven't made any sort of decision as to that yet. If council has an opinion on how that should be, I'm happy to take that into consideration. I personally see pros and cons for both. I think it's kind of confusing to a lot of people that the people on the subcommittees is not the people on council necessarily, because that's how it works in lots of other ways of student governance. Keep in mind, though, people on subcommittees can be part of GFC. You just have to apply separately out of a larger pool of applicants. So I don't have any movement on that right now, but if council feels strongly, let me know.
Thank you very much. Councilor Farouk, go ahead.
Again, to Councillor to Vice President Bannister, also with DFC again. You mentioned faculty councils, and which are different from faculty associations, if I'm understanding correctly. You talked about faculty councils, right? Yeah. And how much for having them report to GFC. I currently sit on the faculty council for science itself, so I'm not sure how it works for other faculties. But I've noticed the past couple of years that maybe meaning less and less over the years. I believe the last time they met was like last year. And it's really only to approve the list of graduates and have like a small reworking team. So they don't really seem to be doing much. So I'm just wondering, like, what the value in it is, or if the faculty council themselves will be changed in some manner.
Thank you for the question. So, you know, shooting from the hip response is that's concerning to hear that your faculty council isn't meeting on a more regular basis. It's my understanding that that would be typical. Most meet more frequently than that. But that's actually an interesting trend in governance that, you know, GFC actually meets less frequently than we used to. GFC used to meet every month, and now we meet only, you know, a handful of times a year. So I don't know if that trend is unique to the Faculty of Science. You know, in terms of regulating the fact that they meet more often, I don't necessarily know if that's in the purview of the ad hoc task force, but I think that if a reporting structure were to be put in place, you know, GSC would be alerted to the fact that, you know, any council, for whatever reason, isn't meeting very frequently, which could, you know, put some sort of pressure on those administrators to do that. So I can see that being advantageous if there's a need to meet more frequently, but, you know, how that will play out in reality is yet to be seen.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions for question period? I don't know why I just did that. I just anticipated that there would be no more questions.
I'm alive,
so. Seeing none? Is that a question, Councillor Larson?
No, it isn't.
Okay. All right, we'll close question period there. Just going to close that. Wonderful. All right. So with that, that closes question period, so we'll move on to board and committee business, starting with item 7A, DFU plebiscite question number 1, APERG. Christensen moves to approve the APERG DFU question on the recommendation of bylaw committee, as listed below. The question is listed in the main agenda. Hopefully that's not small enough for people, but it's big enough for people to read, let's put it that way. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Mahal, thank you very much. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes, briefly. So this is the Alberta Public Interest Research Group plebiscite question. There's no changes from the last time it was approved. The makeup and everything is the same, from my understanding. It is the same. We are just here to approve this, and it will go on the plebiscite system or the voting system in March.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on item 7A?
Can you bring it
back up? Yep. Is that large enough for people to read?
Yeah.
Yes, Vice President Bannister, go ahead.
I have a question, but I will put it in debate. So, is this August 7th students are exempt? I know I was in this meeting when we talked about this, I just didn't think about it at the time. Does that mean they're also not eligible to receive stuff from APERG, because where are they, and then they don't pay the money, because that seems weird. But otherwise, I could figure out this.
Thank you very much. Are there any other points of debate? Councillor Larson, go ahead.
From my understanding, it would have to be under APERG's mandate to say that they wouldn't be able to like receive funding if those students are exempt. To how I understand it, and when we read it, there was nothing in there that said they would be exempt because they didn't pay the fee. So I imagine they can use the funds if they request them, or if APERG's board releases the funds to them. I don't know.
Thank you very much, Councillor Larson. We'll go next to Councillor Farouk.
Just going to clarify that. I could be wrong, things may have changed since the last time we looked at how APERG distributes their funds. But as far as I know, they don't really make a distinction between where students are, or even if they just give strictly only to students. Because as far as I know, they've given much a lot of diverse groups with a lot of different uses for the money itself. And I don't think all of them were strictly students, but I could be wrong about that. So I don't think that distinction is there. I think they're just going to go give money based off like a proposal that they get from different groups. And Environmental Prairie Planting Body. They use the money that we give them to give it out to other groups. And that's the information I have. So, if anybody on council is on the Acreage Report and wants to correct me or give us a better explanation, that'd be great.
Thank you very much, Councillor Farouk. We'll go next to Councillor Victoria Dion. Go ahead.
Putting on my Acreage Board member hat, anyone can apply for funding regardless of whether they are members of Acreage or not.
It's clear as day. Thank you very much. Is there any further debates on item 7A? Yes, Vice President Kosain.
I think that it's important to note that APERC has also other services that they offer besides the funds that they release. So, for example, they have a library in their office in Hogmong. So I suspect that's why Augustana students might need them, because they don't use those day-to-day services, such as, you know, taking out books or, I don't know, attending some of the workshops that APERC has, because they always do them here on.
Thank you very much, Vice President Kosain. Is there any further debate on item 7A? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. So once again, Christensen, seconded by Mahal, move to approve the APERC DFU question on the recommendation of bylaw committee as listed below. All those in favor, please raise your placards. Please raise them high. Thank you very much. All those opposed? Any abstentions that wish to be noted? So we have Governor Champagne, Councillor Victoria DeYoung, and Councillor Yim. Were there any other abstentions that did not wish to be noted? I just want to make sure we have correct numbers here. Wonderful. So that motion carried 21 in favor, 0 opposed, and 3 abstentions. So we'll move on to item 7B, DFU plebiscite question number 2, WUSC. So Councillor Christensen moves to approve the WUSC DFU question on the recommendation of bylaw committee as listed below. Just scroll down here so you can try to get as much of this question in here. Okay, is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Detierrois. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes, briefly. So this is for the World University of Canada Services. I believe there are no changes from last time it was approved. The fee remains the same. I should mention, this is the first time. Our committee does not really do anything with regards to these fees in terms of editing things. We get what they send us, we word it appropriately, and we provide it here for you. So I just want to make that clear. That is all.
Thank you very much. Is there any debate on item 7B? Seeing none, we'll once again go to a vote. So once again, item 7B, Christensen, seconded by Detierrois, move to approve the WUSC DFU question on the recommendation of bylaw committee as listed below. All those in favor, please raise your placards. Thank you very much. All those opposed? Any abstentions that wish to be noted? Were there any abstentions at all? Wonderful. So that motion carries with 23 in favor, 1 opposed, and 0 abstentions. I believe that exhausts our agenda. Once again, if you have not already done so, I'd encourage you all to read all of the reports that have been provided, as well as the items that are in the late editions, so a couple other reports, one from CAC, one from Vice President Sundare, as well as the GovWeek report. I know there are lots of questions about GovWeek, so I'm sure this is a good way to get your questions answered, or ask more questions of Vice President Bannister in future meetings. So with that all said and done, if there are no motions from the floor, we will once again take attendance, and then we will let you on your way. President Rahman, Vice President Bannister,
here.
Vice President Sundare, Vice President Patches, Vice President Gossain, Governor Champagne, Councillor McKinley,
yeah.
Proxy for Councillor Angus, Councillor Kiani, Councillor Datirois, Councillor Manda, Councillor Larson, Councillor Victoria Dion, Councillor Yim, Councillor Hammond, Councillor Alhamouri, Councillor Prasad, Councillor Prochnow, Councillor Nahid, Councillor Nick Dion, Councillor Hashim, Councillor Brophy, Councillor Christensen, Councillor Sunday, Councillor Scott, Councillor Flamin, Councillor Kwan, Councillor Howie, Councillor Warrior, Councillor Newman, Councillor Nguyen, Councillor Mahal, Councillor Farouk, Councillor Wong, Councillor Kim, I'm here, the general manager is not. Meeting adjourned at 6:53 p.m.